Anyway, so Joe wakes up covered in his own excrement and shouts out in agony and despair, Simon. He just shouts, Simon. Anybody, actually, but he shouts, Simon. Wanting, he says he didn't want to die alone. That's what Watso was despairing. He knew he was going to die. He just didn't want to die alone. He wanted to be held. Didn't even want to live. He even says that at that point, it was as if, well, living and dying didn't seem that different, actually. It didn't seem to matter whether one died or not. He just wanted to be held. He also says in the film that when he cries out, Simon, when he actually utters that cry, he felt that he lost something. And what he lost, he says, is he lost himself. In that moment of crying out, he lost himself. That's what he says. I'm not sure exactly what he meant, but it seems to me very, very significant that after, you know, this 3.5 day, well, it's actually a 6 day journey if you counted the up and down. He lost 3 stone in these days, yeah? So you can sort of imagine the physical endurance that he had to put up with. He loses himself. There's a death. There's a spiritual death. The true value of a human being is determined primarily by the measure and the sense in which he has attained to liberation from the self. That's Einstein again. And of course, he didn't know whether Simon would still be there. Actually, there was no reason for Simon to be there. It had been at least 2 days since Simon would have reached base camp and they would have gone. But Simon was there. Something had kept him there that he didn't know what. Richard had been saying to Simon, let's go. Look, there's no point. Joe's dead. Let's go. And Simon keeps saying, let's just wait a little bit longer. One more day, one more day. And he hears, Simon hears Joe cry out. He's finally heard. And of course he's found and held. And a very, very moving description of the mutual empathy, the love, the concern that they show for each other. You know, Joe's just breaking down in sobs and Simon's sobbing in between expletives. But what I found even more moving is that one of Joe's first responses was to thank Simon and to reassure him that he did the right thing in cutting the rope, that he was grateful and to not feel guilty. That was one of his first responses. And it's just very, 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 very lovely. He's exhausted to the point of, you know, he can't think. And he's about to fall asleep. And he says, there seemed to me something important still to do before I slept, but I was losing the struggle to keep my eyes open. Then I remembered. Simon, I said, what? You saved my life, you know. It must have been terrible for you that night. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You had no choice. I understand that. I understand why you thought I was dead. I understand what you did. You did all that you could have done. Thanks for getting me down. Which is, you know, just tremendous. And then sleep overtakes him. Although he looks at Simon and, well, there are tears in Simon's eyes as Simon describes what it was like for him. And, well, Joe says, it's over now. It's over. And Simon says, yes. He said it in a choked whisper, and I felt the unstoppable flood of hot tears filling my eyes. How much he had been through, I could only guess at. A second later, I was asleep. I find it very moving that his concern is for Simon. How much he had been through, I could only guess at. That's Joe talking of Simon. And he also talks about... well, that's in a way the end of their adventure. I mean, more happens. But what I find significant is he talks about writing this book, in this book, and he says that he wrote it because Simon came in for a lot of criticism from the mountaineering community, from mutual friends, for abandoning Joe, for cutting the rope and then abandoning him. And Joe wrote this book to tell the story and to stop the criticism, to show to people that actually Simon did what was what any sensible mountaineer should have done in that situation. It's dedicated to Simon Yates. It's to Simon Yates for a debt I can never repay. And what Joe says is that it was writing the book that changed his life. Actually, after all this adventure, his life didn't seem to significantly change, but he wrote this book and it changed his life. And he says that he feels incredibly fortunate for what happened. He's now a successful writer, an author, a public speaker. He could never have imagined. He's on a winning streak, and he actually says perhaps it was a small price to pay. What he had to endure was a small price to pay for such, well, he says, an inspiring adventure. Almost losing everything in Peru was a sensation quite as life-enhancing as winning. So that's something incredible. And I think that the reflection I had was that actually when he started to think about Simon, when he started to, well, thank him, and then to write the book and to reflect on this whole episode, that's when I think that the maturing process was complete. He seems to me to be completed something in that maturing. It had to involve other people. It had to involve an altruistic, outward-going dimension for other people. And I think that that's what heroism in Buddhism is about. It has to involve, well, the Bodhisattva ideal. Well, if you don't know about the Bodhisattva ideal, you'll have to ask. But that's what is the heroic ideal in Buddhism. And Sangharakshita, Bhante's life, is a sort of living example of the Bodhisattva ideal in action. His life and his work are the reason why we're here today. It's touched, his work has touched the lives of thousands of people. It's affected us all to some degree or another.